Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. Our newest broadcast is in the Pashto language, and that reaches into Afghanistan, Pakistan, and northern India. Now, for the past few weeks here on Hope for Today, we've been studying these themes: love, forgiveness, and worship. From Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50, we've been examining a moving event in the life of the Lord Jesus. This event shows us the links that bind the relationships of these three: love, forgiveness, and worship. The first link we looked at was attitude. We noted the difference in attitude between Simon, who was a wealthy Pharisee, and the woman whom he referred to as a sinner. The second link we discussed was action. Simon's attitude and the attitude of the sinful woman determined what their actions were. The final link was assurance. The woman was forgiven. Simon was not. We didn't get to finish that discussion, so that's where we'll begin today. But first, let me read our text, Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50.
And one of the Pharisees desired Jesus that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden Jesus saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to you. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And Jesus said to him, You have rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, See this woman? I entered into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said unto her, Your sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgives sins also? And he said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Have you ever wished you could have a greater love for the Lord? I have. Have you ever wished you could find it easier to forgive yourself and others? I've had that desire too. Have you ever longed for your worship of the Lord Jesus to be deeper and more sincere? I have. And I assume that you too have longed for these kinds of things. Meditating on this text, allowing God to speak truth to our spirits, and then submitting in obedience to him, will help us to see those longings become a reality. As you read through this account, whom do you identify with the most, Simon or the woman? Simon was a sinner, just as much in need of forgiveness as the woman, but he certainly didn't see it that way. Because he was religious and outwardly conformed to a moral standard, he saw himself as a righteous man. He had a code of conduct to follow that he believed would make him acceptable to God. And he had little time or respect for those who did not meet his standard of righteousness. He failed to see the sin and deceit in his own heart. In stark contrast, I believe the woman saw herself through the eyes of Jesus. She knew the depravity of her own heart. She knew the weight of guilt and shame. And then she heard Jesus' message of repentance, his offer of unconditional love and forgiveness to any and all who would receive it. She knew she was not worthy of the gifts Jesus offered, but she reached out in faith, according to verse 50, and accepted the offer. As a result, her life was filled with overflowing love and peace. She who had nothing without Jesus now had everything. And her lavish expressions of worship and devotion sprang spontaneously from her cleansed heart and life. Because worship is really about understanding who I am, who you are, in relationship to God. If you and I long for a greater love for the Lord and greater expressions of worship and devotion, it begins with our attitudes. It begins by being honest with ourselves about who we really are. Since all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we have no claim to superiority over those we may consider to be the worst of sinners. Jesus made it clear in the Sermon on the Mount and other scriptures that our thoughts, motives, and intentions make us just as culpable as those who actually follow through with the physical acts of sin. If you and I take time to quiet our hearts before the Lord and allow Him to search us, like Simon, we may not like what we see. Pride, selfishness, bitterness, lust, a focus on the temporal rather than the eternal, an unforgiving spirit, and the determination to be our own boss are just some of the things He may reveal to us. We may realize that our outward demonstration of religion masks a heart that is desperately in need of repentance and forgiveness. And when you and I realize the depths of our own depravity, we will cry out to Him for His undeserved mercy. The realization of our own need and that Christ is the only one who can meet it will transform our attitudes. And as we noted before, attitude motivates action. Our worship will become more sincere, more spontaneous, as we dwell on the reality of Christ's love and forgiveness. Praise will well up in our hearts and escape through our lips as we reflect on God's goodness to us. We will become less concerned about what others think of us and more concerned with the knowledge that God knows us completely, inside and out. This transformation will also enable us to see others through the eyes of Jesus instead of through the distorted vision of our own self-righteousness. It will cause us to think the best of others and to offer them a hand up out of the same pit from which you and I have been rescued. Seeing each human being as made in the image of God will cause you and me to be respectful, courteous, and hospitable to all those whom God brings our way. It will cause us to reject partiality in our dealings with others based on social or economic or religious status. It will enable us to appreciate the varied backgrounds and experiences of other people. Their spiritual journey, though it may be perhaps far different than our own, will become to us a source of encouragement and blessing. When we begin to experience these changes in our lives, you and I will have a stronger and deeper assurance of our own salvation. You know, many people today struggle with the assurance of their salvation. Why? Is it because God's promises are unclear? Or is it because some of them are trying to live a righteous life the way Simon did, out of his own moral goodness? That never works. It never results in faith, peace, and assurance. The reality is, we must allow Christ to take control of our lives and live his life through us. And like the woman in this account, we will know when that happens. We will find joy in obeying God's commands. Instead of reacting with jealousy, we will find ourselves rejoicing when God blesses the lives of others. We will listen carefully to the ideas and opinions of others to see what we can learn from them. And we will discover joy in putting others ahead of ourselves and giving them opportunities to use their gifts of ministry. When that begins to happen, we will gain a firm, settled assurance that God is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. My friend, these links of attitude, action, and assurance confirm the binding relationship between love, forgiveness, and worship. They help you and me to understand how we can have a deeper love for God and renewed reverence for his name and person. But that will only happen if we commit ourselves to allowing the Holy Spirit of God to forge those links in the furnace of life's experiences. Will you be like Simon, or will you be like the woman who was a sinner? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for including this account in Holy Scripture, your revelation of yourself to us. Thank you for revealing the danger of self-righteousness and its detrimental effect on our relationships with you and with others. Thank you for showing us our great need for forgiveness and for providing peace to our troubled souls. And now, Father, as my friend and I reflect on this teaching, place within our hearts the desire and power to embrace whatever your Spirit has spoken. May our lives from this day forward be a more accurate reflection of your love and forgiveness. And may our worship overflow from a heart full of gratitude to you. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
My friend, were you blessed by what you heard today? If so, you can request an audio CD or printed copy of this complete teaching by writing and asking for it by its title, Love, Forgiveness, and Worship. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. You can request an audio CD or a printed copy of this entire teaching, Love, Forgiveness, and Worship. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact us with your request for a copy of this teaching is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And my email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Love, Forgiveness, and Worship. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we begin studying chapter 8 in Luke's Gospel with a message titled, How to Produce Lasting Fruit. I hope you can join me. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.